Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
The Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Abuse has identified many changes that need to be made in church practice. Sri Limbrick is the CEO of Catholic Professional Standards Limited. She explained to Dwayne Jeffries what Catholic Professional Standards Limited is going to do to make sure vulnerable kids are safe.
Our approach really is to take very much to heart what the Commission's extensive research into elements that make institutions safe and really take that to heart and implement that across all of the activities of the Catholic Church in Australia. So we'll be implementing the 10 standards that came out of Volume 6 of the Royal Commission recommendations in their entirety, and in fact really going beyond what the Commission had in the 10 standards and making sure that every other recommendation, there are another 37 recommendations in the Commission report that they made specifically to religious institutions, some of those specifically relating to the Catholic Church, will all be embedded into the standards and rolled out across all the organisations. And then we will go about systematically auditing, sending auditors into parishes and schools and other services run by the Catholic Church, and then publicly reporting what we find.
There'll be many inside the church as well as outside looking in that will have questions on your autonomy. What kind of capacity will you have to head into dioceses or around bishops, for example, and not only ask questions but enforce any outcomes?
Sure. The intent actually in our constitution, so we are an independent company, set up a not-for-profit company, and clearly we're owned by the church. We wouldn't exist otherwise. But the board that's been put in place is a pretty formidable group of independent thinking experts in a range of fields. But the intent really of the constitution was that part of what our intent is to actually hold those bishops and leaders of religious organisations and CEOs to account for what is going on within their jurisdiction. Again, the Commission found that quite often not only was the abuse horrific and in many cases systematic within institutions, but then the institution refailed people when the leadership did not act to prevent the abuse happening again or worse than that, actually continued the abuse by not acting appropriately. So our authority is to audit from the bishop down. Our tools to do that really are the audit and the report. So the board has the power to publish the report, and our intent is that reports will be published in their entirety on our website so people can at any point in time go and look at what institution we've been auditing and what the results of those audits are.
And if those results aren't favourable, do you have any capacity to pursue change or enforce it?
Only the public reporting is our main tool. If we do find a systematic failure within an organisation, then we do have the power, and the board will report that back to the owners, which is essentially at the moment the bishops and religious. There are four members, so not all the bishops. We go directly to a small group, and we'll be working on some protocols over the coming months about what that actually looks like, what triggers would be for us to go back to those members and what recommendations we would make about further action. But ultimately, our power sort of stops with being able to assess and say whether someone is up to scratch or not up to scratch through the public reporting.
So in essence, it's going to be the declaration that an institution has passed a clean bill of health or that there are issues, and you'll be specific about what those issues are.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. The audit, much like any Royal Commission, is very much driven by the kinds of questions that you can ask. So how are you forming the list of priorities that institutions will need to pass?
So we're doing quite a lot of work and are about to start a national consultation that will be open to the public, not just to the Catholic community. We'll be publishing our draft standards through our website and have a period for people just similar to the Royal Commission for anyone to really respond to those, help us identify if we've missed something, if people may be able to comment and say, well, the evidence, you know, that you'd be looking for won't you won't be able to find it, or it might be too hard to find. So whatever people want to tell us, they can tell us. We're also going to be doing some testing in some of the institutions, some of the dioceses and congregations before the end of this year. So to actually look at how will this audit come about, how will it actually operate on the ground.
So you'll have the audit roughed up, and then you'll, what, run some test cases in
yes,
small dioceses?
Exactly. Okay. And really part of it will be, as with, there'd be lots perhaps listening to the show who work in social services or health or education sectors where this sort of notion of performance auditing and being able to follow a trail of evidence is pretty common practice these days in terms of responding to government regulation and requirements. So our audits won't just rest with, you know, looking, oh yes, you've got a nice policy, you've done a good job. It will actually be getting to a depth of understanding. So does everyone in that institution, as best as we can access, actually understand and apply those policies? Do they know what they mean? Do they know what they look like on the ground? Do they understand their responsibilities? Yes, obviously, as bishops and leaders have responsibilities, but really everybody has responsibility in the Australian community for keeping children safe. The church certainly had a massive failure, and there's absolutely no denying that. But lots of institutions went before the Royal Commission. So we really do need to change our approach to how we, as any organisation across Australia, respect and uphold the dignity of children, no matter what we're doing.
Without doubt. And the fact that the Catholic Church is right on the front foot on this is really worth applauding publicly, which is part of the reason we're having this conversation. But you'd also understand any scepticism that would come from either somebody who's been wounded in the last few decades of abuse or those looking in, that if institutions have become so adept at being opaque that we've developed very sophisticated ways of concealing truth, and your best utility is just posting up whether somebody has a really good policy, and as far as we can tell, they seem to be acting it out, but underneath there still lies endemic challenge. How do you go about finding the unseen stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no denying that, you know, our success, if you like, at Catholic Professional Standards, for me and the board and staff, will very much rest with not whether the bishops or religious are happy with what we're doing, but actually if children and young people can talk to us about their current perceptions of being safe and respected within any part of the Catholic Church. So part of our strategy will be to be directly engaging with children and young people to find out from them, as I said, their perception and experience of safety and respect, but also what other information they need. How do they go about exercising their rights? Even today I was having a conversation with someone, what does a child-focused complaint process look like, which is one of the recommendations of the Commission. We're not going to know that, as adults, certainly, and I've worked in the child and family welfare sector my whole career. I have some ideas, but I'm far from being a child or a young person these days. So what do children and young people want to say, and how do they want to say it to us, is a key measure of our success. The other measure really will be a continued dialogue with those who have been irreparably traumatised and harmed by past abuse. So absolutely, with our eyes sort of set to the future to make sure this doesn't happen again, but absolutely not at all forgetting and being as informed as we can be by those very strong and resilient voices of the victims and survivors who really brought the Royal Commission to us in the first place. So,
Cherie, if the Catholic Professional Standards Limited group team, the audit teams out in the field over the latter part of this year when you're doing those audits, if they discover more criminal enterprise or abuse, do they have the power to go straight to the police?
Absolutely. That's without a doubt.
So I guess the outcome here for us is that, A, there is an intent to put procedures in place that will hold the various, and we're talking about thousands of different institutions independently run inside the Catholic Church, bring them together with a standard of expectation, exposing it to the light of an audit. That audit is public, and that in between now and those audits starting, we're being invited to bring along our perspectives, perhaps our senses of the kinds of questions or procedures we would like examined, and how would we go about sharing those insights with your organisation?
Sure. So in the next, probably within the next couple of months, our website, which is all the W's, cpsltd.org.au, will be a really primary source of information for anyone to find the standards. Our draft standards will be there, and how they can go about providing us with some written feedback on any aspect of the, as you said, the sort of standards, but also the sorts of questions we should be looking for, the evidence we should be trying to seek, and that will feed in then to us refining those standards while we test them before we finally publish our last set of standards and start doing our audits and first round of public reports before the end of the year.
The website again, Catholic yes. Professional Standards Limited, that's cpsltd.org.
Yep, cpsltd.org.au.
Very good. Cherie, thank you so much for your time and for the endeavours that you're embarking on. All the best for you and your team.
Thank you very much, Dwayne.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.